for people, loves those people that nobody loves, and will help those that will let him help them, if they'll let him. Been a help to me. Been a help to this church. And I hope you'll just let God have an opportunity to speak to you today. All right, brother. All yours.
Go ahead. I'll leave it there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God bless you. Amen. Forget about it. God bless you. Well, good night. Look like a mixed multitude. No man can number right there. God bless you. Amen. We got to put this tuck in there somewhere. Hide my water. Got to hide my water. Amen. Well, open your Bible anywhere. It's all good. Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, Rabbi, what am I doing wrong? Oh, now I can't preach. No. Is this okay? Is this working all right? Well, God bless you. How many of this is the first time you heard me preach? Let me see your hand. First time. Wow, good night. All right. I mean, don't give a flip. Let me see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Well, it's a joy to be here with you. Of course, my last two meetings I've been with your pastor and Brother Mark. Enjoyed his testimony and so forth. I'm going to share about 3 minutes of my testimony this morning. I felt led to say that this morning to you. And first of all, I'm just a beggar telling another beggar how to get a piece of bread. That's all I am. And it all started with me and the street gangs of Detroit, Michigan. My dad worked for a guy named Jimmy Hoffa. I met him when I was about 5 years old. Didn't know who he was, so I was about 15. And we never heard the gospel. But one day, a bus captain came by our house named Buddy Baker from the Temple Baptist Church. He was about 70 years old, jogging through the neighborhood. And somebody told him, I said, I bet you won't go see them Patterson boys. There's four of us. And I was just a little lad then, about 9, 10 years old. And long story short, he led my older brother, John, to Christ. Now, John was a little gangster boy, and he used to pack a 45. Now he packs a 66. Amen. King James Bible. And heavier caliber, amen. And John got saved. He used to be a boxer, and my jaw still feels his punches in my face in Jesus' name. And I had a filthy mouth on me, and my brother took care of that often. And but when he got saved, I saw a change in his life. I saw tears in his eyes for sinners, and he beckoned me to come to church and get saved. And I was teasing a lady back there today, having a child. There's 10 kids in our family. I often tell folks, my neighborhood was so rough for driver's ed, we used stolen cars. That's how bad it was. And but I heard my brother give the gospel. Not more than heard it, I saw the gospel. That's a big difference. When you're seeing and hearing matches, it's going to affect somebody. Amen. And so John would go street preaching in the park, and they would get folks saved. Long story short, my older brothers all got saved, my sisters got saved, and I was one of the last ones to get saved. I went down to Dr. Ruckman's in Pensacola, Florida. My brother ran a gas station. I was a thief. I was a crook. I was a liar. And not now intentionally, but I'm still human. But I, by the grace of God, I yield to that light, yield to that water. That's why the Bible will clean you up. The Bible will wash your brain out. It'll wash it and wash it and wash. It'll wash your mouth out. It'll wash your eyeballs out. It'll wash what your ears out, you know. And it changed my love for music, changed my love for my habits and so forth. And I know that this old life will soon pass. But what's done for Christ will forever last. So everyone I ever come in contact with, I borrow a statement from R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was a Bible teacher under D.L. Moody, a great educator, but God used an eighth grade man to help mold his educated food, and who cracked the Bible back in England, or Germany back in the 1880s, under some other Griesbach and Tregellis and these guys cracking the Bible. God always used an uneducated guy to fix the educated boys. I like what Albert Einstein used to say. He said, I never allow my education to interfere with my schooling. Amen belongs to that. And the Bible is very scientific. Over in Luke chapter 17, it's day and night at the same time. How do they know about it was day and night at the same time in, 1,500 years before Christ, the Word of God? Amen. The Bible is very scientific. But we don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread the Bible. Columbus thought he was going to fall off the earth. All they had to do is read Isaiah 40, he that sitteth above the circle of the earth. The word 25 is round. Amen. And you still got four compasses inside that circle. Amen. And but anyways, I heard the gospel of Christ and kept going to jail, kept going to jail, kept going to jail, kept going to jail, and kept going to jail, and kept going to jail. All of a sudden, all my brothers and sisters are getting saved. They're cleaning their act up. They quit partying. They quit doping. And then I went down to Florida to run my brother's gas station. Well, I start stealing and ripping them off. He said, man, we ain't doing that here like you did in Detroit. And I mouth off to him. I said, I'll go back in Detroit. I went back in Detroit, and he gave me a car that looked like the Batmobile, an old 60 Oldsmobile, you know. I head back up in Detroit, got put back in jail, in Bobian County Jail. And in that jail cell, God said, boy, this is it. You've heard the gospel. You laughed at me. You cussed me out. Now you're going to get saved. You're going to get saved. And I come out of that jail cell, and I look at my mother for the first time, little old 5'5", little plumpy blonde Irish lady. That'll knock you out in a second. I see to knock out my dad many times with a pipe wrench. I mean, he just keep walking. And I said, Mama, I'm going to get my life straightened out. She's never heard me say that before. She started crying with tears in her eyes. I said, Mama, I know I've hurt you, but I'm going to get my life straightened out. 3 days later, I went back to Pensacola, Florida. Something was pulling me, Mike. Back to Florida. It's called the Holy Ghost. But I went back to Pensacola, Florida. I got saved 2 weeks later. I got saved when I came to Jesus. I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. In bondage forever, my soul to be. My soul doesn't want to be free. Hey, I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the master. Hey, that's where it all is. That's what all changed. And I got saved, got right with God. I was going down the road one day, and I had I was always a connector on the streets. I got you anything you wanted. I wasn't a pervert. I was just a wicked rascal. Say amen right there. Y'all look at me like y'all got halos on your head out there. I see a few horns popping up out there. Amen. You better smile, Brother Mark. God bless you. Amen. And I had about 200 names and phone numbers in the contact book. You know, a 3 mile bridge over Pensacola, Florida, the Holy Ghost said, get rid of that. I just dump it out the window. Didn't even have to pray about it. Hey, when I severed those contacts, lost all my contact with them, here's my new contact right now. Here's my new contact. Hey, I got the book. See, you get the right book, you get the right look. And hey, you're still wrapped. We're still wrapped up in this thing called flesh. This thing still called time. But one day time shall be no more. That's why it's life important. And also another statement. What's done in this life will soon be past. What's done for Christ will forever last. I know there's a judgment day coming out there. Number one, for the Christians. Then one's coming for the lost. I'm not going to be at that one for the lost. But I got to be at that one for the Christian. And that Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And God has brought people across my path, young and old and so forth. The Roloff and the Rices and the Hiles and the Ruckman and then the B.R. Lakin. And I got to see those old preachers at a young age. And now I'm 60. Now I'm getting older. Knees are bad, eyes are bad, kidneys are bad. But I still eat good. I'm so hungry right now, every time I swallow, my stomach says thank you. But we'll take care of that after a while, amen. She knows when I come up here, I don't want no fried chicken, and I want Italian food. I got a sister who thinks she can cook spaghetti. She cooks SpaghettiOs. I said, sis, that looks like a bunch of dead maggots moving together. But hey, I tell you what, I wouldn't trade the Christian life. And so what happened after he got saved, Brother Jack? I heard a man preach named Lester Roloff. I was sitting on the fourth row that night at Panama City, Florida, at Dr. Hugh Powell's church, the guy who led him to Christ. And I walked in that night as a boy and walked out a man. Because he preached that night, Roloff preached 2 hours that night, about 50 girls on the platform. And I said this, I want some of that. That's the invitation that came down to the altar. I said, Lord, I said, give me something what that preacher has. And that invitation, little prayer at the altar, has cost me 42 years of service. Because that's what I've been doing. Last year alone, I placed 45 people in homes across America. This year alone, as of last night, 72. If I'd have had my home still open, then by the way, I'm going back. I'm going back to Alabama. Copy ain't selling. I told Karen and I, we're going back down there. We're gonna reboot that men's home. We're going to reboot that women's home. She said, you're kidding me, right? I said, no. I'm back. She said, I pray for you. She's sick today, high blood pressure, pray for her. But I said, Lord, I said, my knees are bad. My finances are down. I got to go back. I got to repair the floor. I need I don't know what I need. I need stoves, refrigerators, washing machines, machine guns, whatever. But I got to repair the floors. I got to buy a van. But I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to be there. I'm going to preach on that this morning. And I got a young man call me. He said, Brother Patterson, now you know who I am. I said, I know who you are. I said, I've been waiting for you. What are you doing? He said, I'm calling to tell you I'm coming home to help you. They're leaving California, leaving Dr. Jack Peebers College. And he's been out there working for 7 years, he and his wife. And they want to come take over the work. And I want to help organize it for them and turn it over to them. So they'll be here in a month. And so I'll be working for Brother Evan Sprague. Be coming back. I got two other couples coming in. One wants. I met a girl last night. She said, "Look," she said, "God spoke to me this week to run your women's home. I'm not even finding them. They're coming to me." I had that somehow. God just brings people together. Then I got another young man out in the Missouri. He said, "Brother Patterson, when you're ready, I want to come start a boys' home for you." I said, "I tell you what. You start it. I'll let you have it. I'll give it to you. But when I'm gone, you just perpetuate it for the cause of Christ." This last year, I started three homes. I got all the homes I gave up. I got them back to other ministries. Now then, here's your other blessing. I had three homes call me the last week, and one home said I got 20 beds. Other ones said I got 20 beds. Another home said I got 30 beds. And I got them all set up, but we want you to fill them. So now I got 30, 50. I got beds now for 70 kids ready to go into turnkey, ready to go. So all this next, I'll put my next, you'll get a newsletter this next week. So that means I've got 70 more beds ready for kids. More men. So, Bud Jack, how are you doing? I'm going to preach on that this morning. You see, somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. I'm talking to people here this morning. You're depressed. You're mad. Like the preacher said, I can look at your face. I like what Mickey Rooney said. I love life had it not been for people. People are crazy. Yeah, that's funny. And I bless you. Amen. Now, how many am I talking too fast? Okay, I talk fast, I drive fast, I eat fast. But I sleep slow. Hey, I play Dixie on my snooze button. Someone said, what time you get up nowadays? You're so busy. I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I go to the bathroom, go back to bed. Take your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Now, mind you, as you're reading Philippians, we're going to read a prison epistle of the Apostle Paul. He's writing this out of prison. He's in prison. Writes three books in prisons. And how would you act if you were in prison? What would you be like? What would your personality be like? And so I'm excited. I'm 60 years old. I'm excited. I still got our bus. I was at a place, and I just put my hand on the bus. I said, Lord, if we can use this bus, I sure like to use it if it's fixed. I was on the road the next week, and the guy came up to me at church. He says, this church helped me buy it, by the way. And I got a big tour bus sitting there, and it's been all over the country. I have a goal of bringing those men and women back over here to go street preaching in New York City. That's a dream. By December, I may have that dream. And I got a bunch of kids wanting to come. Can they go to New York City? I remember a time I brought some girls out of you ever been around mountain people? They're crazy. They don't have a forehead. They got a fifth head. Come on. That's funny. Okay. They got an eye over here and an eye over here. Okay. God bless you. Look like a buffalo. And I took some girls down to, I took some girls, the mountain people down to Brooklyn. And one, and they got this high twang voice. They're mountain people. He said, is there mafia there? Is there going to be some mafia? And their mafia is all over the place. They were walking up at the L&B restaurant and asking people, are you in the mob? Are you in the mob? I went, and yeah, I'm in the mob. Forget about it. Get out of here. You know, winking at me. You know, I said, anybody that's got a pinky on is in the mob. They're looking for pinky fingers everywhere. Oh, I said, I'm glad to get them girls out of there, man. Got me killed, amen. But I put my hand on that bus. I said, Lord, would you fix this bus for me? I'd like to use it again. Or let somebody else use it. The next service is out of that. Some guy walked up to me and said, Brother Patterson, you still got that big bus? I said, yeah. I said, need some work on it. He said, bring it down to my shop. He said, I run a little small shop over here, small, my foot. I get there, there's 100 semi-trucks parked outside. The owner of the semi-truck, he owns the place. He put $5,000 in that bus. You know what that bus is saying right now? Come on, boom, 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 boom. Come get me, boom, 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 boom. Fill me up again, boom, 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 boom. Amen. He put new airbags all over the place. He fixed the tires on the bus. He put new AC unit on the bus. He put a new muffler system on the bus. Fixed the windows on the bus. And even filled up the gas tank. I'm going to go siphon some off. I need some in my RV over there. Sure, give me some. But I'm sitting there in Ohio, ready to go. Ready to go. Ready to go. Ready to go. You know what about helping people? I introduced a message real fast to saying to you. I was on the street the other day, and I was out there preaching on Michigan Avenue. And me and some young men, and I saw a little prostitute walking down the street. I said, hey, girl, come on over here. And she walked up to me, and she said, I know who you are. She said, you're that big guy named Jack. I said, yes, ma'am, Brother Jack's my name. I said, how long you been on the streets? She looked around and said, what you want to know for? I said, because I'm asking a question. And she said, I've been out here 7 years. I said, how much you got to make a day to feed your dope? She said, I got to make $700 a day. She said, I start about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm home doing my dope 8 o'clock at night with $700. And about midnight, I'm broke. I said, if I can get you a bed to get off the streets, would you take it? Would you get off the streets? She said, you get me a bed tomorrow, I'm gone. I got her a bed. She's gone. She's in a girl women's home tonight. And got her on some medication, doing fine. And then her preacher heard about what I did for her. He said, who got you a home? And she's up in Chicago. And she said, some guy named Jack. So he called me. He said, Jack, I've got 15 more hookers that went off the streets. Three of them's got AIDS. I said, I'm going to help them. This next week, I'll be in the courtroom, I think Thursday or Friday. I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. And I got to appear before the same judge that Dave Spurgeon appeared, Judge Rice. See, you'd understand a work like mine if it's your daughter. If it's your son. Or your grandson. Or your nephew. Or your aunt. Or your mother. Or your father. Or your preacher. Or your preacher's wife. Or your preacher's daughter. Sin hits all spectrums. And I walked in that courtroom a couple weeks ago, or the jail rather, the federal jail. I looked at the guy and said, hey, I want to see this young lady. And he said, you know what time it is? He said, it's 5 minutes till. I said, well, I got 5 minutes. He said, you're going to get upstairs and back down here. I said, I get back up there in four. And I had my watch out like this. I said, let's go see this girl. This bird let us go upstairs in a federal prison with no ID. No, I mean, no clearance badge. We had our driver's license. We went up there and I saw that girl, and she put her hand in the window. She said, please, please, please help me get out of prison, please. I said, what you in here for? She said, robbed a bank. I said, how long you been in? She told me, she said, if they told me if I can find a home and that would release me to a drug rehab, I can get out. I said, I'll find you one. I found you one. By the grace of God, next Thursday or Friday, we're going to walk out with that girl and put her in a home and get her life straightened out for God. And guess what? It ain't going to cost her a dime. Because the dope head doesn't spend all the money. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Jack? This old generation's going to hell and it's going to get crazy and crazy and crazy. And God sent you. God sent this church. God sent a lighthouse by this church right here to New York City, Staten Island, to help the highways and the byways of life. You had a pastor here named Mel Sabaka years ago. He influenced a guy named Robert Militello. Worked for the mayor's office. He influenced a guy named Joe Costa. He now is a pastor in Long Island. He led a girl to Christ named Debbie Fortunato, who worked for Motion Pictures. Had 80 ladies working under her. She married one of my ranch guys. She's now serving God in the church over there. She led a guy to Christ named Kevin Cogan. He was a pastor. All right. He led a guy to Christ named John Codabes. He went to PBI. He became a pastor. See the influence your church had? And now Brother Veach is moving it forward. I preached a message years ago, and after the service, the lady came to me. She said, Brother Patterson, I want to commit suicide. I was going to commit suicide tonight. She said, after you preached your message tonight, I decided to live for God. I decided not to kill myself. I said, well, can you help me out? How are you going to commit suicide? She said, I was going to jump out in front of the first semi-truck to come out on that highway. I said, can you tell me why you want to commit suicide? I said, you saved? Oh, yes. You love the Bible? Oh, yes. But I'm depressed and I'm mad and I'm angry. My husband left me. My kids are all gone. I'm fixing to lose my house. My health is all gone. I says, you know what? The devil can put some weird thoughts in your mind. Because when you're angry and you're mad, you think different. You don't think right. Help me out up here. And the devil gets you thinking about something over here, and it don't even mean that, and he'll put a little thought over here. You know the devil's so stinking sly, that lion sucker, that old fox. Amen. I don't cuss him out. Well, I think I do sometimes. Slipped on that one, didn't I? I call him a sucker. I know that. I can tell him. I said, I smell you, Slewfoot. I smell you around here somewhere, you little sucker, you. You know how I get rid of him? I start singing. I start singing about the blood. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood, blood, blood drawn from. Amen. And then you go, poof, it just take off. Poof, it just take off. Poof. Now you get some of that Kumbayama stuff, he'll show up. That's why I like them old hymns of faith. Amen. That's why I like them songs of old bloody house religion. Amen. I keep them away. I like what Lester Olof said. And why they called a hymn? It's all about him. Ain't about us. It's about him. Amen. I plead the blood of Christ, and I fill him in motel rooms and everything else. One day I got so, I said, man, what's going on? I pulled a Tom Malone. One time Tom Malone felt the devil in his car. He put his brake down on and got outside the car and opened the car door. He said, devil, get out of my car. Closed the door and went on down the road. Some of y'all ride with the devil too much. Some of y'all listen to him too much. Hey, that's why I want to read the Bible. I can tell who's talking to me. This old King James is a good filter. It'll filter your mind. It'll filter your eyes. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can't sleep? Get up and read your Bible. That'll put you to sleep. Amen. 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 I had a boy one time come in, and he had red hair and Mickey Mouse slippers. And he's from California. He said, I want a hug. I said, oh, help us. I understood the red hair, but I didn't understand the Mickey Mouse slippers. He said, Brother Jack, I just spent 7 years in the mental ward. And my mom sent you to me. She said you'd teach me the Bible. I come up, give him a hug. They got him off all the 13 pieces of medication for 8 years. And they asked Brother Olof one time, said, Brother Olof, did you really use medication? He said, oh, yes. We use the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, Bobby, we got his hair changed to his normal color. I got his hair cut. I let him keep his Mickey Mouse slippers. And before we left, he said, Brother Jack, the word of God is working. I don't hear my voices no more. He said, hey, let me tell you something. You want to get your mind cleaned up, get your eyes in that book right there. Read it, read it, read it. Roloff had a girl one time. She was the queen of the Hell's Angels. And they brought her into the home down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And she was the queen of the Hell's Angels. That means she rode on every bike. That's all I'll say. She come in there and they pumped the word of God. Brother Mark, they pumped it and pumped it and pumped it and pumped it. For a year, had her up against the wall and they're reading the word of God, reading the word of God, reading the word of God, reading the word of God. Back in 60, 68, 69. And all of a sudden one day her mind started coming back and she woke up and came into reality. And she wrote over 200 songs after she come out of that spell. All I want to praise my Lord for his wondrous love and mercy. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, he pray, for a love abundantly. He broke the strongholds of sin and death and set this captive free. Oh, praise him, all ye people. Lift up holy hands to him whose love's on dark Golgotha has redeemed me from my sin. Not bad for an old queen of the hell's angels girl, huh? Hey, been married to a preacher for 40 years. Never went back to the pit. Never went back to that stinking pit. I like it. Moody said, every Christian ought to walk by the pit where God brought him from once a year. That's your Christian smelling sauce. Reminds you where you come from. Don't ever think you're right. Don't ever think you're going to pick your nose this way. Your nose is on top of your head. She wrote another song. I'll preach in a minute. Why you keep pulling your pants up? It's hard to keep a pair of pants on a funnel, amen. I've lost a few ounces. Amen. I stepped on the scale the other day and said, one at a time, please. Your day is coming. God bless you. Your days is coming. I tried every stinking diet through it. I sucked it all down, ate it, did without. Forget it. I just cut back on the food, and God bless you. Amen. And she wrote another song. She says, I'll never be the same since Jesus saved me. I'll never live the same life anymore. He's the one who died on Calvary. Hey, I'm just praising God this morning to save a wretch like me, and I'll live with him forevermore. I was searching for the good times to fail. That emptiness inside. I tried what this world had to offer. Then they told me God above would fill my heart with love, and I'll never be the same anymore. I'll never be the same since Jesus saved me. That's what that book would do for you. Religion can't do that. So, preacher, what's the difference between religion and Christianity? Religion says do, Christianity says done. That's the difference. That's the difference. I ain't doing nothing. It's done. I live up in the Karen and I. We hang our hat up there in Detroit. Somebody called me the other day. See, stuff just start coming in. I think the Lord been waiting on me. He said, one lady said, Brother Jack, I got a 225 acre ranch 3 hours north of Detroit. I think I want to give it to you. I said, well, I think I don't want it. I used to be cosmopolitan. Now I'm metropolitan. I'm not a farmer. I'm a city boy. I like greasy spoons. Hello? I don't live on the farm. Buck, 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 buck. I don't know. Hey, all I know is a black cow eats green grass and gives white milk. That's all I know about a farm. Only thing I know about a farm is Cracker Barrel. I'll crack the barrel. But I got another call right before I come on this trip. I got to see this when I get back home. And one guy said, Brother Jack, there's a farm about 30 miles from Detroit. I said, I'm interested. He said, when you see it when you get back. And I said, what do they want for it? He said, if you use it, they'll give it to you for $1 a year for 20 years. I said, I'm interested. Then I get a call from the Amish. I took an Amish guy the other day. I got to go see his judge. My wife said, you ain't going to be home forever. All right, baby, God bless you. I'll send you a check. Amish guy said, Brother Jack, we've sent men all over the world. I didn't know this. They send men to Europe. They get off drugs and alcohol. I said, what do you pay them a month? $20,000, $25,000 a month. I said, I'd do it for $23,000 a month. Joke. He said, we've seen your men come back from your place. Not about 1,000. But if they'll stick with me a year and listen to me, I'll bet 80%. He said, we've seen your men come back and they still love the Bible and listen to their mom and dad and they make good families. Whenever you want another building in Detroit, we're going to build you another building. Diamonds built me 7 buildings and never charged me a dime. And they built them in 19 hours. 40 by 80, dried in, 2 stories. So that's a little bit what I'm doing, but let me preach to you. Over here in Philippians chapter 2, and Paul's writing in prison. And he's going to get his head severed here shortly. And he knows it. He was going to cut his head off. But he gives some motives here. I want to give you this morning. I don't care what your church background is. God has a plan for your life. If you're here this morning, you're without Christ. Christ came to save and seek that which is lost. If you're not saved, you're lost. Those are Bible words. I walked into telling you about Dearborn. I live outside of Dearborn. 265,000 Muslims in that town. I'm in Dearborn a lot. I have a lot of those guys. They're my friends. We commerce with each other. We do business. I walked in one store the other day, and a lady had a burqa on. And I started to get a little attitude and my old flesh, you know, listen to too much news and stuff. But I finally realized behind that burqa is a sinner. Amen. And I walked up to this lady, and I looked up on the rack. There was a book called 15 Minutes in Hell. I said, young lady, I said, does that book bother you? Watch my expression. Yes. That book bothers me. Yes. I don't want to go to hell. She has her burqa on. I had a pocket full of tracks. I was buying some medication from some of the guys. I walk up there. Of course, I didn't have any insurance. I got insurance. And she looks at me, and I went to pay the bill. And she said the bill was $300. But she said, because I like you, you have no insurance, and I put you in an insurance program free, $88. Then she put her finger across the counter, Pastor Veach. She said, you promised me one thing, Mr. Jack. Every time you come in here, you bring me a new leaflet. A new leaflet, they called them. A track. I went in the other day. She said, where are my new leaflets? I read that biker track 20 times. That Spurgeon guy. I want something different. And she said, don't bring This Is Your Life. I read that one about 15 times. I said, good night. I went back home and got traction, brought them back. Ah, yes, yes, Jack. Yes, 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 yes. More, more, more. I said, okay, masalama. I got to go. They're hungry. They're hungry. I'm going to give you a little verse here to kind of encourage me when I get thinking it's all about me. And you ever been broke? No, I mean broke. Well, the cookie jar is empty. Every woman's got money stashed in the house, guys. Find it. My wife's got stuff stashed everywhere. I'm sitting on the couch, and if I'm lying, may God kill this guy right now. I said, honey, I'm starving to death. I said, I'd love to have a steak. She said, how bad do you want a steak? I said, I don't want no tube steak. I want a steak. Well, she said, you know, I do have some cash. You go, what? Said, I have some cash put away for such a time as this. I said, how much of supper time as this do you have? She said, I got about 300. I said, baby, we're going to party tonight. Let's go. We're out one day and out in the work, having fun with the kids, traveling. And I didn't have any money. I had about $300 to get to the meeting. I had about 40 kids. And we're hungry, Brother Jack. We're hungry. Well, little kids tell you they're hungry. You got to get some food. Green holes or dope or something. Go make some money. Carjacking or something. I'm just kidding. I just call Mark. Yo, Mark, take care of the business, brother. I come up to a gas station. The Lord just takes care of those needs. You know, sometimes he pushes you right to the edge to see how you're going to respond. I see how you're going to react. Hello? I want to see if you're going to put some faith on it or foolishness. Or really see if you honor him with your lips or your heart is far from him. I said, Lord, we're going to go. I got some money here, and I try to keep a blank credit card for emergencies only. A lot of emergencies lately. And my buddy's filling up the bus. I said, no. $200. That's all you're going to put in there. And I got $100 worth of cheeseburgers coming. That's plenty. Amen. Rest of them, I'll fast. I'm putting fuel in his bus, and all of a sudden the guy pulls up. We got Reclamation Ranch, Jack Patterson, in memory of Lester Roloff, the great preacher of the past. The guy said, hey, I want you to fill that bus up. I said, why would I want you to fill that bus up. He said, because I'm going to pay for it. And he peels off Benjamin Franklin's. I know what those guys are. They're not George Washington's. Amen. And he starts peeling them off. He put out about 7 of them out there. He said, how many kids are on that bus? I said, about 40. Here's another $300. I said, good night. I said, sir, I don't know you. I said, why are you giving this money to us? He said, man, I see that sign of Lester roll off. He's been on the radio. He's blessed me for many years. And is I want to give somebody to that ministry. And I don't even know you, but I love Lester roll off. I told that bus driver, when you get home, put Lester roll off's name on everything. Put it on the trailer. Put it on top of the house. Put it on the side of the dog. That really happened. Wish it happened again and again and again, but it doesn't. Look over here, Philippians chapter 1, and look at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, and so now also Christ, which shall magnify it in my body, whether it be life or death, he's in it for the whole thing. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yea, what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide in and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help me be a blessing to your people, Lord. Thank you for the service. Bless the service tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, you'll speak to our hearts. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So, Brother Jack, after all your life of traveling, probably about 3 million miles on the road, wore out about 35 vans. What are you saying to me today? Paul tells you one thing here, abide in the flesh. So I want to preach you this little thought this morning, don't go to heaven yet. Don't go to heaven yet. You know, the Bible talks about heaven 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles long, but there's not one verse in the Bible telling you to come there. It's not there. I don't know how many times I read my Bible. Quit counting. I don't count. I just read it. Others, like when you get here, I go to prepare a place. At John 14, I go to prepare a place. And man, I want to get out. The older I get, I want to get out of here. But I got news for you. He said, hey, he said, it's more needful that I abide in the flesh. And I want to talk to some of you dads this morning. I'm going to talk to some of you mothers this morning. I'm going to talk to some of you grandparents. Hey, God wants you to put some flesh on where you're at. Put some flesh. Hey, I don't want to go to heaven yet. I want to go. I want to get out of here. I want my brand new body. I want to get home to glory. But I'm still stuck in time. I'm still stuck down here where there's no flesh. And I got to abide in the flesh. Because why? It's more benefit for you to stay right here and do something for God and come alive for God and speak up for God and stand up for God. God needs you this morning to represent Jesus Christ. He says over there, one verse, he said, I am the light of the world and all the way to glory. And then he said, ye are the light of the world. Hey, I got a message to preach to you today where Paul goes over there, 2 Corinthians 5. He said, hey, he said, God is begging. God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. I can't comprehend those words. Where God comes down and begs you to talk about a son. He begs you to be a blessing to people. He begs you to give him a little cold drink of water. He begs you. Let me see how the Bible you know. I go street preaching about every week of my life. I think every preacher should. I'm out there about 3 months ago now. I'm on the dark side of East Detroit. No lights, no street lights. I'm sweating a little bit. But I grew up there. But it's been 40 years ago since I've been on the streets late that night, about 2 a.m. And this preacher's preaching on the street, and he's passing out food, he's passing out clothes, he's passing out blankets. And all of a sudden, here come two guys dressed up like women, walking, you, big boy, you. I look around, I'm the only big boy out there. I told Karen, I said, one of them had on some good perfume. I almost got you some of their perfume they had on. I walked up to them, and the preacher was with me. Flipped on the floodlight on the trailer, all free food, all drinks. And I started talking to them. And they had tears coming down their cheeks. I had tears coming down my cheeks. I said, what got you out here? What put you out here? Why are you acting like a woman? I said, see that sign on the side of that trailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Brother Beach, like a shotgun, you mean to tell me that I don't have to burn? You mean to tell me that I don't have to burn? They kept screaming, I don't have to burn. I said, yeah, you don't have to burn. You don't go to hell for being a sodomite. You go to hell for rejecting Christ. And they said, we never heard of that. We never heard of that. Now listen to what they told me. Preachers and people will come out, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're a bunch of queers. You're going to hell. You're a bunch of faggots. You don't know your Bible. You're probably a parrot. You're quoting somebody else, which is very stupid. I said, read the Bible. And you don't have to raise your hand. I've got homosexuals in my family. I got transvestites in my family, way down the line. I got people who killed 4 or 5 people one time in my family. Hey, your Savior had a you want to see the Savior's credit history? Read Hebrews 11. Sometimes there was a bunch of wild characters in there. Rahab the harlot. Rahab got rehabbed. Amen. And those two guys. You know what they told me lovingly and kindly this morning? They were raped by some people of their immediate family when they were 7 years old. And they said, we got so mad and angry, we became what we hated. He said, but you are the first preacher that I've heard in years that gave me an answer out. I told them how to be saved, told them how to be born again, gave them both a Gatorade. And they were doing this, walking on the street. They wanted to see the side of that van because we had it lit up about a 10x10 on the street that night. That was the only street light on. It was on Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, what I'm trying to tell you this morning, I don't care what your background is. I'm trying to say, put some flesh on it. Put some flesh. Okay, you're saved. Okay, you're going to heaven. Okay, you know the King James Bible, the Word of God. But I'm saying where you're at, put some flesh on it. Put some flesh on it. Put some flesh on it. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let me show you a little verse over here. 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. David's here sitting with Saul and Absalom. Something took place that he wasn't there. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. Look at verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17. And Jonathan calls David to swear again, an oath, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is a new moon. And thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Hey, you know, we got down to Christianity, we got some seats that are empty. We got some dads inside the home, but you're not there. Hey, dads, let me ask you a question. I won't be here tonight. Well, let me just go ahead and say this to you, Levin. When's the last time you told your kids you loved them? Oh, it's quiet. When's the last time you told your daughter you loved her? You know, they did a survey the other day, and I read surveys. They had a group of little girls who gave up their purity at the age of 8 to 12. They were selling their bodies in a grade school to the guys in high school. And they were all Anglo-Saxon, blue-eyed American girls. And some punks got in that school and talked to these little girls and given up their purity. They became prostitutes at 9 and 10 years old. And you think you're going to wait till they're 15? You better get them while they're young. You better get them while they're young. Now I'm going to make half of you mad. Now you're going to take your love offering back. That's why I got that empty credit card for. Karen said, "You taking that card?" "Yes, I am." I'd get every kid I could out of public school. I wouldn't let my dog go there. I'm serious. I let my cat go, but wouldn't let my dog go. All dogs go to heaven. All cats are going down there. That's in the Bible somewhere. My dog's a cat killer. He's a brown Dachshund about that big. He thinks he's a German Shepherd. His name is Buster. We call him the German lowrider. I call him my Egyptian. He's leaving pyramids everywhere around my house. Amen. He comes over your house, he'll get Egyptian on you real fast. What are you going to tell that judge? Let me just tell you what I told another judge a few weeks ago. See, I don't have to read books. I just got stories to tell you, real stuff. I walked in, they swore me in. That's about 3 months ago, fresh off the press. And the prosecutor, they got attitude. They want to win. See, they have to have so many points to get elected. See, when they arrest you, they give you points. Guys go to office, got to have points. Lawyer wins a case, he gets points. Whatever. This guy's going to try to get some points on me. He said, "Reverend Patterson." It bothers me, they always call you Reverend. That word Reverend is mentioned one time in the King James Bible in the book of Psalms and dealing with God, not man. The Reverend Jesse Jackson. I'm sorry, Jesse's your hero, I'm sorry. They said, "How do we know you're not a Jim Jones?" I said, "I can never be a Jim Jones." "And why is that, Reverend?" The judge says, "Yeah, why is that, Reverend?" I said, "Because Jim Jones had 5 state licenses. He's one of your boys. I don't have one." Oh. "Well, you have doctor on your degree." I said, "What's Dr. Patterson?" It's a honorary. "Well, we believe in science. We believe in earned doctor's degree." I said, "Then you better tell Martin Luther King because he had 5 of them." Next question. They passed over that one real fast. They said, did you know this guy Roloff?" I said, "Sure did." "So he's a child abuser." Nope, never heard a kid in his life. "Well, he went to jail for child abuse." I said, "Who told you that?" "It's on the internet." I went, "Can you believe that?" I said, "Lester Roloff went to jail because they wouldn't take a license." That judge looked at me and said, "You got any other questions for the Reverend?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, I like the guy. I think he's real." He said, "Take the cuffs off that boy." Brought him out of prison. He said, "Change his clothes. You're going to go with this guy for 1 year. If you don't make his home, you're going 5 years in prison." We walked out of the jail, had his clothes changed. He wanted to smoke some Marlboros. I said, "Survey said, wrong answer." I took his Marlboros and did a deep 6 with him. 3-pointer downtown. I said, no more smoking here, pal. We're going to smoke that book." Watch it. His mother comes out with an oxygen bottle. And this is what she said to her son. "Son, you're killing me. Worse than cancer." I look at the boy. I said, "You better hear what she's saying." She died 3 months later. As long as 3 months, about 3 years ago, really. You know what I'm trying to say tonight, this morning? I want to put some flesh on what I have. Let me ask you a question here. Are you putting flesh on? Let me ask you a question. Is your seat empty, Mom? "Hey, Dad, is your seat empty this morning?" "Hey, I want my seat to be full. Hey, is that Sunday school class? Does it pass you by? I don't care what you got, a van route, a bus route. I want to do all I can for the cause of Christ. I want to be effective for Christ. I want to do something for God. And I tell young people all your life, hey, you made a mistake. Get back up. 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 Get back back up. Get back up. Hey, that Bible said in Psalms chapter 12, hey, the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail. You and I will blow it sometime in our Christian life, but you don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to beat up nobody else. Get back up and go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. What happens if you fall again? I'll get back up again. Don't call in, crawl in. Get back up and do something for God. Go help somebody like somebody took the time to help you. Amen, Brother Jack. Amen. Go get them. And let them know you're never going to throw them under the bus. Had a guy come here this week in Brother Ryman's meeting. And 5 years ago, he flatlined. Dude, he dead. Mother called me back up and said, Brother Jack, he came back to life. I said, well, call him Lazarus. He came back to life 3 weeks ago. She come home. He's dead in the kitchen again. I said, you're kidding. She said, no, he's dead. I said, well, wait about 5 minutes. He may come back. I'm serious. Sure enough, his eyes open. I said, this is wow. He was at the service this week. Last night he wouldn't fight me. I said, bad choice of words. I said, I'm fat, but I'm fast. I'll change your life. I will change your life. He said, I'm mad, I'm mad. His girlfriend forsook him. He'd been acting stupid, hadn't seen him in a couple of years. I said, come here, idiot. You died 3 years ago. Five years ago. I said, who drove all night to see you in the hospital? You. I said, who's been calling you and texting you for the last 5 years to hang in there, hang in there? Who put you in Bible college? Who took you to Bible college? Who bought your first suit? Who bought you? I said, don't you think I care for you? Don't you think I want to hold the rope for you? Don't you think I know you can make it? Hey, don't you think you can make it, boy? I mean, you can do something with your life. Do something with your life. At 12:30 last night, he was in an anger mood. I said, look, son, I love you. But if you put your hands on me, I'm going to help you out a little bit. I'm going to help you. Just like I told a husband 2 weeks ago, he's one of these big WF wrestlers. He hit a little wife with his fist. I called him up. I said, hey, won't you come hit me a little bit? Maybe get some of the brothers to come out and see you and fellowship with you. You want to put your hand on a woman. You got to be a punk to put your hand on a woman. Amen, amen, Brother Jack. Good preaching, Mark. Some of you women ought to shout amen right there. Amen. Bless God. Wave them old handkerchiefs if they're not haunted. 12:30 last night, he looked at me and said, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? I said, I want you to go home and be nice to your mama. I want you to go home and rub her feet. I ain't rubbing her feet. I said, my mom was alive, I'd kiss those feet. He said, I know what you're saying. I said, all right, I've been an idiot. You think? He said, what do you want me to do now? I said, I want you to go to a home I'm going to put you in. He said, where's that? I said, never mind. I want you to commit to it and I'll tell you where it's at. That's faith. He said, can I smoke there? Nope. Can you drink there? Nope. You drink the water of life. I said, all right, where's it at? I said, it's in Hammond, Indiana. I've already got you a bed. You've already called him? I already called him. Got your name. Here's your number. She did all that without asking me? Yep. Want to leave Tuesday. He said, at 12:30 at night, you knew all that? Why didn't you tell me 2 hours ago? Because I want to see how fool you're going to look. He jumped up and gives me a hug. He said, I messed up again. I blew it again. I said, hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I will load you bare. Hey, bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. And last night, his old chest looked like that. He was crying. Good looking boy. 5 years of Bible college in him. And he's SOS. He's stuck on stupid. Nobody can teach him nothing. He said, I'll go. I said, tell you what. And by the way, This is it. I'm just about done. I'm talking about putting some flesh on where you're at. Right where you're at. When two other preachers heard that he got right with God last night at Brother Ryman's, you know, one of the preachers walked up and said to him, "You finished the program. I got a job for you." Amen. "Hey, you finished the program. Won't you come to my church, work in my church?" "Hey, you finished the program, brother. I want to help you." "Hey, man, he got encouraged. He went ahead by faith, made a commitment to go get his life cleaned up. All of a sudden, God starts sending blessings in. Sending blessings in. Hey, I got news for you. I don't care what you do. Whatever your past is in the past, let it stay in the past. Amen. Don't let your past defeat you. Don't let your past define you. Don't let your past derail you. Quit thinking about the past. Put some flesh on it. Put some flesh on it. Two illustrations, I'm done. Yesterday, I was at the meeting. Brother Ryman said, "A little boy just got out of prison." He got up and sang the other night at the meeting. My heart was touched by him. 23 years old. He looked like a serial killer. Come to find out, he can't see but 5 feet of visibility in front of him. He had little squinty little glasses. And the Lord says, "Help him." You know what God's going to do to you sometime? He's going to put some people on your mind to go help them. Maybe take them out buying some clothes. "You can have this. He'd make 8 suits out of this." I got a call today. Guys want to know my suit size. I said, 62 XL. That's a man size. He said, "I got 4 of them coming in the mail to you in 2 weeks. I said, "How did you know I need a suit?" He said, "I don't know. God woke me up and had you on my mind." I said, "Go back to sleep. He'll speak to you again." He said, "I even got a size 14 shoe waiting for you." I said, "Send that too." He said, "I know it. Man, when I go by cows and sheep, they go, they take off running, amen." But I took that little boy out. They got out of prison a couple years ago. And he can't see but 5 feet in front of him. He's on parole out of Louisiana. He's got to get permission to go to a Dairy Queen. I said, "How can I help you?" "Won't charge him no electricity. I'm going to find him a trailer. I'll steal it, but I'll find it." "Oh, I'm sorry. I found in the field. We went looking yesterday. I ain't got no money. I got everything wrapped up in the work. But I'll get it. I ain't going to tell you how much it was. But I'll get it." I said, "I'm going to get you a trailer. I want you to move down to Brother Soche's. I'll let you use it." And he said, after my 8 months, he said, "I want to come back and serve under Brother Ryman. I want to give him my life." Wow. That's who's sitting next to you in the house. Yep. That's who's sitting next to you at work. But you know what I did? I had all kind of burdens in my mind. But you know what? I didn't think about one of them yesterday. I kept thinking about that little blind kid trying to walk. I looked at my glasses one time. I said, "Glory to God. I can see." How you doing this morning? Why don't you put some flesh on where you're at? Why don't you be kind to people at work? Why don't you suffer the fraud? Let them walk over you for the cause of Christ. I wish I could tell you sometimes. I was in a factory. I'll tell you one real fast. Give me a New York minute. When I go to work, I used to make armored tanks, M60 tanks. Me and a guy named Bill Grady, about 200 guys from college. I went to get my sandwich one day. Some guy put a rat on my sandwich. I bit into the head. It was pretty good. I'm just kidding. Then I found out the guy had a daughter in the hospital with pneumonia. I went to the hospital to see his guy's daughter. Big old long hippie, tattooed hippie. "What the blank are you doing here?" I said, "I come see it. Pray for your daughter." "Oh, come on in." I prayed for his daughter. I said, "I'm praying for you to get saved." He ran a machine right across her mind. That night at work, there was about the largest submarine sandwiches I ever saw in my life. And he's looking over there. He says, "It's okay. There's no rat on it." I said, "Just checking." Many years ago, before I left Hammond, Indiana, clothing illustration. By the way, the last I checked, I think we had 7 guys from off the floor at the factory. Going to First Baptist Church of Hammond, 2 of them were deacons. They were dope heads. They got led to Christ to our church services that we had on the property every night. And I left Hammond that day. And the day I left Hammond, a young lady got saved. She was a prostitute, two blocks where Al Capone rented little cat houses from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Her name was Sandy Taylor. About 2 months. I left and came back. I left, came back, got supplies. And I saw this girl that got saved. Then I walked into Hammond one day, Brother Veach, and I counted three rows. She said, "Hey, Brother Patterson, are you still out in Washington?" I was out in the state of Washington back then. I said, "Yeah." I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Look at my crowd." And Jack Howells, First Baptist Church of Hammond, had sectioned off three pews for this ex-prostitute. She went and got all of her friends, some of her ex-clients, and got them saved. That was 1992. I was there about a year ago. They have a new pastor now. Things are going a lot better there in Hammond. I was there about a year ago. I went to the church. I was looking for the message and hear the preaching and see some of my friends. But I wanted to go back and see how the pews were doing. She didn't have three. She had five. Still bringing people to church. She runs a bus route. Everybody knows her, Sandy, the ex-hooker. 20 years. She's putting some flesh where she's at. Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the Bible today. Our Father, pray that you take home this simple truth. And God, give us some people all over this room who need to come alive where they're at. Use it what they have where they're at. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You say, "Pastor, Brother Jack, I'm here today, and I know I'm saved. I know with a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven, and here's my testimony." You know that you're saved. Let me see your hand all over the room as a testimony for Jesus Christ. You may lower your hands. So, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand just then. Just a second, Brother Feach will come. Who say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand then, but I don't want to go to hell. I want to know about Christ. Would you just pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and down real fast?" So, preacher, I'm not saved today, but I want you to pray for me. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not coming back and bother you, I promise. I didn't raise my hand then, but I raise it now. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that here today? Say, up and down real fast. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior." Anybody like that here today? Okay, head bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask you a question, Christians. I said, "Preacher, God spoke to me today." "Hey, preacher, God spoke to me today. I see some errors in my Christian life. I need to go home. I need to go to work. I need to go to the highways and byways and put some flesh on it. Pray for me, preacher, as a Christian." Lift your hand all over the room. Oh, my. Oh, my. Many hands. Many hands. Many hands. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That's what I want you to do. Those who just raise your hand, would you do something about it this morning? Would you step out of your seat right now? And would you come and name some things that you want to do different in your life? Maybe you want to come and claim someone for the call of the Christ and for that you would want to put some flesh on it for? A mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a Sunday school class. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. Would you come and do that right now as the music plays? All over the room, from the far left to my far right. Won't you come tell God what you're going to do in your life? Would you do that today? Father, bless the invitation. Work in the heart of your people in Christ's name. God spoke to you. Folks are coming. Won't you come join them? All over the room. Come on, quickly, quickly. We won't tarry long. We won't tarry long. Come on, quickly. Yes, yes. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, in the far left. Yes, come on, come on. Come on, yes, yes. Come claim someone for Christ. Come and put some flesh on it. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom and dad, your aunt and uncle, your grandmother, your granddaddy, your neighbor, your boss, your co-worker. Come and claim somebody for Christ. Come and claim them for Christ. Put some time on it. Put some time on it. I'll let Brother Veach take over the invitation. Hell doesn't like this. The devil doesn't like this. But God does. But God does. Pastor.
The gospel requires feet. Beautiful feet, the Bible says. The gospel requires your lips. It takes somebody to preach it. It tell it. Getting the gospel to our neighbors requires your body, your flesh, requires you to go, requires you to do something. And if you think about it, that's the only reason you exist, is just to do God's will. What would God have you to do? Have you given God your hands? Do they belong to Him? Have you given God your feet? Have you given God your lips? Have you surrendered those members of your body, your flesh? If you're saved and you're a child of God, those things belong to Him. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He bought you with His blood. You belong to Him. And the only reason the Lord Jesus Christ would leave you and I here after we get saved is so that this body of ours could be used for His glory, so that we could go and we could speak and we could help and we could reach out to other people. Maybe you're here today. The invitation, we're not going to close it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God is still speaking to your heart. Many have come and just surrendered some things to the Lord. Maybe God is still dealing with you. Is there something in your life, in your heart, you need to just yield that will of yours, yield that to Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to do that? Pixie, just continue to play there for a moment. And if God is dealing with you, step out from where you are. Come here and then just give it to the Lord. Give it to God this morning. Is there anyone else, wherever you might be around the room, just step out from where you are and just let God have His way in your heart. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tom. Amen. Brother Josh, pray with Tom here, will you? Tom, this is Josh. Just pray together. He's saved. Just got some things he's dealing with. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God's dealing with you in your heart about something. Maybe something in your life, marriage, job, whatever it might be, needs to be surrendered. You're not yielded this morning, and you know it. You're not yielded. There's something in you that's held back. God knows it. You know it. There's not been total surrender in your life. What is it this morning? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you went home today right with God, with that thing yielded to God today? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Is there anyone like that here this morning? Come now while you have an opportunity. Just surrender that thing to God this morning. All right, amen. Anyone else? Let me ask you again before we end the meeting this morning. Maybe you're here today and you don't really and truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're here to help you. We love you. We've been praying for you. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you let us help you this morning? I wonder, is there anyone like that this morning you'd say, I'm not sure if I died today. I'm not sure if I died today that I know I would go to heaven. I'm not certain of it. Please pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that? You just lift your hand. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else this morning? You're not sure. Lift your hand so I can see it. I saw your hand, hon. Anyone else? I want to make sure I don't miss someone. If you're here this morning and you know you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you settle it today? Would you get it right with God today? Would you just allow the Lord to help you today so you can know for sure you're saved? Is there anyone else like that this morning? Just lift your hand wherever you might be around the room. Slip your hand up so we know that you need our prayers, and we'll pray for you this morning and help you. Anyone else this morning? You've heard the message this morning. You know the Word of God is real. It touched your heart this morning. Is there anyone else here today? Just slip your hand up. You see, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to settle it this morning. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Let me see you. All right. Two young ladies here have raised their hand this morning and gonna help you. As soon as we pray and we're going to end the meeting, we'll talk to you in private and sit down privately, open a Bible, and show you how you can go home certain of your salvation. All right? So when we dismiss, just stay, ladies, if you will. And we'll have one of our ladies speak with you and help you and show you from the Bible how you can be saved this morning. All right? Anyone else? This is your opportunity. This doesn't cost you anything. It was all paid for you on Calvary. Jesus Christ paid for all of this. This is free. This is eternal. And this is free. And it can be yours today. Nobody's trying to get something out of you. We're not trying to get something from you. We're trying to give you something this morning. Is there anyone else here this morning, before I pray and we end the meeting, is there anyone else here this morning you need to be saved and you'd like to talk to somebody about it after the service? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone else? All right. Father, Lord God, we thank you for the meeting this morning. Thank you for the message. Thank you for our dear brother and the ministry and the friendship and the fellowship we've had over the years. Thank you for the way that you're using him and the many young people that you have helped, Lord, through him. And Lord, we thank you for those this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have come and laid some things down before you today. And I pray, Lord, that every one of those burdens and cares this morning, Lord, that you'd give them grace for those things. And help every one of us, Lord, that this body that you've given us, this flesh that we have to use for thee, Lord, would be completely surrendered, yielded. Take our feet and our hands and our lips, Lord, and our eyes and use them for thee, Lord. Help us to make ourselves available. Help us to be the servants that we should be, Lord, to the people around us that are hurting. Father, Lord God, thank you for what you're doing. I pray for these two ladies that have lifted their hands this morning, Lord. Please, Lord, meet the need in their heart. Help them this morning, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. You said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so, Lord, today may they become new creatures in Christ Jesus today. Help them and save them, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for their honesty. They've acknowledged this morning that they have a need. They know they have a need, and they know only you can meet that need. So, Lord, please bless them, help them, save them this morning, Lord, we pray. And thank you for our people. May you just get everybody home safely this morning, Lord. Thank you for our time together. Be with the service tonight. Prepare Brother Josh's heart for the preaching and prepare our hearts, Lord, to hear what you have for us tonight. Thank you for the Norton family and their ministry to us, Lord. May you bless them. Give us a good day in thee, Lord, today. Bring us back together tonight safely and have a good time of fellowship tonight. Pray that you might be honored and glorified in all these things. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, folks, and you're dismissed. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Please be faithful. Be here then.